Up next, ancient alien ancestors, advanced technologies that terraformed our world. Will Hart back with us, and he's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Will Hart back with us, journalist, photographer, filmmaker, author. One of his books include Ancient Alien Ancestors and Other Ancient Civilizations. He has a deep interest in natural and human history. His work has been published in Wild West, Sierra Heritage, Adventure West, Nexus, New Dawn. His articles have appeared in every issue of Atlantis Rising for the past couple of years, and he has just agreed to write a column for New Dawn as well. Now, he did that a couple of years ago. Will, welcome back. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm good, and how are you, George? It's good to hear your voice.
You too.
We haven't talked for a while.
You too. It's been a while. What have you been up to?
Well, I've actually been out of the country most of the last 7 years, and I've been doing a lot of research, but I've kind of been out of the loop as well. And here I come back 6 months ago, and you know what's been going on.
Oh, boy.
I'm in the U.S., and I'm trying to deal with what everybody's dealing with. And it's really kind of amazing, and I'm sure you thought of it too, that everybody on the planet is experiencing the same thing now. No matter where you go, everybody's got masks on and everybody is feeling kind of strange.
Yeah, they are. And anxiety levels are high. Divorce levels are high. It's happening everywhere.
That's right.
It's almost as if, Will, this is an experiment in human psychology. It's weird.
I do see it the same way. And I think we're at a real turning point right now. Do you feel that?
Yeah, I do. As a matter of fact, I was driving around. I'm in St. Louis right now. I was driving around today saying, this is worse than an asteroid strike. I mean, this is just like a prolonged killing of the planet, the way things are happening. And our political leaders, generally, who are shutting everything down, aren't making it any better for anybody.
No, it doesn't. It seems like this... start, stop is making things worse.
Exactly.
I mean, if you're going to do a shutdown, do it. Don't do it half-hearted and then, flip over to the other side, and then we're getting killed both ways, the economy and, rising COVID rates. Right now, it's looking rough. There's got to be a positive side to it, though.
I can't see it. Do you?
Well, let me throw this out. It's possible that we need to be slowed down. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, but it's coming to a halt.
Yeah, I don't think it will halt. Just the way that humanity is. And I don't know how this thing's going to come out, though. I will admit, I'm sure we're all getting to that point that things are getting more and more uncertain.
Well, and if there's been some alien intervention in our past, Will, why aren't they coming back to save us?
that's a big question a lot of people ask. I think, early on, if we go back in history and we look at the Sumerians and even further back to Atlantis, because I like to remind people when they read what scholars and historians have to say, that they also, they say, well, no, Atlantis, that's just a fantasy. That Plato made that up. Well, what about Sumeria? Didn't we lose Sumeria? Didn't we completely lose that? It went out of our minds, out of our memories, and then it had to be found, and that was only 150 years ago and dug up. So Atlantis goes back 10,000, 12,000 years and more. Well, obviously, if we lost Sumeria, we could lose Atlantis.
Mm-hmm.
And it was real, real history. And we're only now piecing together the real history of our first civilization in this cycle of things. Atlantis was a previous cycle. So I would say the gods, and to me, gods just mean superior beings. That's all that gods means. It doesn't mean God. And because people ask me, are you substituting gods for God? No. There's a creator. The gods are part of the creation. They're just above us, just the way we're above other animals and insects and so on.
Taking religion out of the equation, Will.
Right.
Will we ever really get the answer to the creator, how and who?
No, I don't think so.
I don't either. I don't see where we can.
No, it's too... Just think of how vast the universe is. And whatever could create trillions of suns or even beyond that, quadrillions, whatever, suns and planets, and we know there are trillions. We have that level of knowledge now, but can we actually fathom and even imagine what the Creator would be like if we can't imagine the creation? I don't think so. But to answer your question, the gods intervened early on when we weren't that knowledgeable.
How so? How so? Tell us how so, Will.
Well, okay. Well, let's take our ancestors 6,000, 7,000 years back, when everybody was basically on the same level, Stone Age level, late Stone Age, all on the same level. And all of a sudden, in Sumeria, these gods appear, the Anunnaki, and bring about civilization, but as it shows, describes in the Bible, create human beings, which are a hybrid between the gods and a lower animal. Then we come out of it. But what I see, and this is my own view, is everything that I'm reading, we come out to be part of a humanity that's in the universe, and we're a branch of it. And it seems like there are many other branches, and the gods were, they're controlling part of this. But aren't we on our way to becoming like those gods? Aren't we already doing things genetically?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, to create different hybrids. We could do it right now. We have, we have governors, but we put laws and restrictions in there because we don't want to move too fast in that direction and start, creating hybrids between apes and humans. I don't think anybody wants to really deal with that right now. We're having problems figuring out how do we really deal with artificial intelligence. We're getting into a lot of very sticky things that is putting us in the role of the gods that our ancestors described. We're on the planet.
So true.
At an earlier stage in our evolution. They're not going to come back now. Why would they? They may at some future point, but we have no way of knowing when that is.
Do you think they seeded us, Will?
Yes. Yes, they seeded the planets, as far as I'm concerned. If you go, the early Earth was very hostile to life. So where did the DNA come from? If there's no oxygen, and we're totally an oxygen planet now.
Right.
Everything depends on oxygen.
And water. Did we have water all the time?
Well, there was water, but it was different. And it took a while for the planet to cool down. It was very hot. It was spinning very fast. And as it slowly cooled down, something had to come in from the outside, because it couldn't have come within the planet itself.
Yeah, you can't create life. Can you create life from nothing?
No. I mean, it was tried. Louis Pasteur tried to do that and came up with nothing. Sterile environment is just sterile.
Mm-hmm.
So I see it as, Darwin posited a closed system, that Earth was a closed system, and life popped up, in these little pools, supposedly. But it just doesn't make sense. Really, life, if we look at the sun, we depend on the sun for heat and light, electromagnetic radiation, and why not biological? See, if it's an open system, then it's open, too, to insertion events, and that's what I see throughout evolution as, when the planet changed and it cooled down, then the biological life, microorganisms, blue-green algae and so on, kind of started the whole process. And DNA is very closely, everything's related. It's a pretty tight package that we have here on the planet.
Kind of paint us a picture, Will, of the cooling down. And then what happened? The seeding of this planet. And when you say seeded, is it conceivable they also seeded the vegetation, literally?
Yes.
Okay, kind of tell us what happened, in your opinion.
Well, it can happen. I think it happens both ways. It was One is called panspermia, and that would be like, you know, cosmic bodies and meteors and whatever.
That had biological crashing. Life on it, crashed
that's
into
right.
us. Okay.
That's right, and that's not directed. That's just the universe carrying, you know, amino acids and different things. The other way would be directed panspermia, which would be, you know, a higher race, like the Sumerians, texts say, you know, work with the planet, and seeded the planet, we're on the planet, hybridized humans with, and they, you know, but everything, they weren't perfect. I mean, many creation stories around the planet from our ancestors say that the gods created, but they, you know, there was a lot of mistakes along the way. So it's kind of experimental, and then he finally came up with, you know, modern man. And the Bible pretty much says that too.
Bible's pretty accurate if you interpret it the right way.
That's right. The Bible really is history, and it's been proven time and again. It was thought back in the 1800s, even until the middle of the century, when Layard found the Sumerian city, and that's escaping me right now, the name of that.
Are you talking about the Anunnaki?
He found the city. He dug up the Nineveh. I'm sorry. Boy, that slipped my mind there. He found the Nineveh.
You could probably have said any city, Will. We would have believed you.
No, but I want to be accurate.
All right.
Because people will double check. You know, we get alternative researchers, alternative historians get scrutinized much more intensely than scholars do. The fact is, they get away with so much baloney. And I want to bring up two things about the Sumerians. Because people want to go right to the gods, to the Anunnaki, and try to understand them. If you step back and go, well, what did historians, when they went out there, and archaeologists went and they studied, what have they found? What they found was they dug down and they said, well, where did this civilization come from? And you hear about the Assyrians and the Babylonians. Well, who were they really? Were they the Sumerians? No, they weren't. The original Sumerians had their own language. They were surrounded by Semitic-speaking tribes. And the Sumerian was the most ancient language, the first written language. All the Semitic tribes, they eventually conquered Sumeria. It lasted for about a millennia. They conquered Sumeria and then hybridized. It became a hybridized civilization. The Sumerians intermarried with these conquering tribes. They borrowed, because they didn't have a written language. The Bible is really completely borrowed from ancient Sumerian. And it's thousands of years later than the original Sumerian text. In the Sumerian text, they have the flood. They have, you know, the same story that comes out of the Bible.
Is that where Adam and Eve originated, in that region?
Yes, absolutely. And they originated very close to Ur and Uruk and all those, the ancient cities. And the Bible points to them. It calls
right.
them different names.
Exactly.
And it points to the exact area. And we know where Eden was. But the Bible, see, it was derivative. That's tough. We get into religion, and you know it gets politicized. It's very tough, because still a lot of this information that's come out that scholars have retrieved, it just hasn't gotten to the general public yet. But it will. And we only have like 30,000 of the tablets, Sumerian tablets, translated.
Of how many?
But there are about 1.5 million.
Oh, my gosh.
So we don't have much of the story put together yet. And we don't know what's really waiting for us, you know, what new revelations we're going to get. But here, I want to bring up two points. If we look at what historians and archaeologists actually found was, when they dug through the Babylonian, back to the Assyrian, down deeper and deeper, they finally realized, well, all these Semitic texts were pointing to an even earlier. They got down to the Sumerian language, and then they realized, well, okay, this is the original language. So the original civilization was non-Semitic. And when they took it, so you can imagine, here are these tribal people surrounding Sumeria, and they're watching it and wondering, what the heck is going on? They have all these technologies and all, you can just imagine.
Oh, sure.
People were, that were kind of in the late Stone Age, looking at this one pocket of civilization blossoming, and they took it over, and it was basically Nimrod, and it's in the Bible, but the Bible, people have to realize, it's very compressed. You can read, 500 words in the Bible, and it might be going through thousands of years. If you take chapter 6, it'll be going through, from the gods looking down and finding women fair, beautiful, and abducting them.
That's Genesis, right?
Yeah, that's Genesis chapter 6. The gods, and it tells you, they look down. Well, they look down from where? Were they weren't on the earth? No.
I was going to say, how would you interpret that, Will, that statement?
I would interpret that as extraterrestrials of a more advanced race looking down and deciding that they're going to abduct these human women and create a different race, which is what they did, and the Bible tells us that.
So I had a guest last week.
They created the Nephilim.
I had a guest last week who said that extraterrestrials were really fallen angels. I think it's the other way around. I think fallen angels were really extraterrestrials. What do you think?
Yes, exactly. No, you have it right. We're talking about physical beings. It has to be physical beings because they have DNA. And they have DNA that's compatible with our DNA.
Right.
And
which means we are them.
In part, yes, we are them. And so this whole thing about their return, it's difficult to understand in one way, but I don't think so difficult in another. If we're an offshoot race, part of this thing has to be somewhat experimental, just the way that we are, the way we proceed with trial and error, creating technologies. Look at how quickly we got to the point where we could go out into space, and that's the first thing we did. Well, you can imagine, that's inherited, as far as I'm concerned. That's inherited. It's in our genes. We get there, and we start building spaceships, and we start fooling around with DNA. And we're already within, you and I have lived through all of this. We've seen all of it in our lifetime.
And there's probably more to come.
Oh, a lot more. And we don't even have, that there are clandestine black laboratories around the world in different countries that are doing all kinds of things that don't get reported or disclosed.
Absolutely. Will, stay with us. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk more about your work, Ancient Alien Ancestors. And, of course, next hour, we'll take your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Will Hart with us. His Facebook is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. His latest book is called Ancient Alien Ancestors. You wrote that in 2017, Will, didn't you?
That's right. It was published in yes.
Because that's when you were last on with me, I think.
Yeah, that's right. It's been a while.
All right, let's tear apart Genesis for a moment. Give me your interpretation of Genesis.
Genesis chapter 1 is not about Adam and Eve. If you read it carefully, and chapter 1 ends, and it ends addressing the more primitive proto-human race, which was designed to be hunter-gatherers, but they were not designed to become urban agriculturalists, and that happens in the subsequent 2 and 3 chapters. Adam and Eve are prototypes, are modern humans. That's how I read the Bible. And at the end of chapter 3, of course, were agriculturalists then living in cities. And that was Sumeria. That all happened in Sumeria. The rest of, well, Genesis, you know, the whole thing of Genesis goes on to chapter 6 is so pivotal because it brings in what Nephilim, which people interpret or just think were giants in physical stature. Mm-hmm. I read more than that. I think they were paranormal. They had paranormal superpowers.
Did they get wiped out in the Noah flood?
They didn't get totally wiped out. And that was the problem, because that's what the gods intended. The gene pool was polluted, by the hybrid race, the Nephilim. And they had, if you look at where that happened, see, the Bible starts out right with Abraham leaves Sumeria. Abraham leaves Sumeria and goes where? He goes to Canaan. Well, what's in Canaan? Canaan involves Lebanon down to Israel, Jordan, and all those countries there. What's there? For one, in the north, there's Baalbek. And then there's, if you go about 200 miles south, there's the Temple Mount. And if you look closely at Baalbek and the giant 800-ton to 1,000-ton stones, and then look at the Temple Mount, the foundation, you see the exact same stones. The exact same stonework. And there's like 500 and 600 ton stones in the Temple Mount that'll look exactly like those in Baalbek. And that's where the Nephilim were, because when Joshua crosses the Jordan River, what does he see? He sends the spies out. What do they find? They find the giants in their cities, which is what? Baalbek. And the early Jerusalem was originally called Salem.
What about Göbekli Tepe?
Göbekli Tepe, yeah, that's up in Turkey. That wasn't done. That wasn't done by the Nephilim.
It was not. Okay.
No, the Nephilim are that super gigantic, cyclopean blocks that are unimaginably large, and the Romans never had anything to do with it. Not they had to do with the top layers, but the foundational layers they couldn't lift those. And we know that through history, that the largest stones that the Romans ever lifted were obelisks they took from Egypt, and it was a little over 400 tons. They couldn't do anything above that, and they never claimed to. So we have a lot of false history when it comes to ancient history. It's just false because they can't prove anything. They can't prove these things that they contend, they theorize and speculate on. Well, these people did it with primitive. Come on. How are you going to lift up 1,000 tons when we couldn't do it with one crane now?
No, they had some kind of ability way beyond what we know.
Yes, there were, and the Bible tells us this, the Nephilim were, this whole thing about mighty men of old, it's inferring they accomplished some great deeds. Well, when we look around the planet, what is that? These ancient structures that are totally mysterious to us. Who did it? And they left behind no records and so on. And the Bible is the only record we have that points to these things, that positions these Nephilim in Canaan, and they tried to wipe them out. They didn't. They were in Canaan, and Joshua comes back. You know, the Israelites are given the task of wiping this ancient civilization, these people out. And they did it. That's basically the essence of the story. It's almost like, sounds like science fiction, right? But that's actually the early history.
It's fantastic. Sure does. Now, take us to Atlantis, Will. How did that develop?
Atlantis, you know, all we have to go on, because in my research, the Atlanteans, that early civilization, developed in a very different way. They didn't have writing, which is not to say they didn't communicate. They used symbols to communicate, and they communicated with stonework, with dolmen, with those standing stones, with stone circles, and that sort of thing. They were trying to communicate who they were, to keep their identity, and they knew, and they also had tattoos, certain tattoos and symbols. And we know who the Well, at least my contention is that we have lost tribes on the planet, and they were on the Canary Islands called the Gacha. And when the Spaniards invaded those islands in the 15th century, they ran into an unknown culture who were looked like Europeans but were not Europeans, didn't live like Europeans, didn't have the customs, didn't dress like Europeans, and they mummified their dead and they built pyramids. They've never been truly identified, and they had a very high frequency of Rh negative blood.
What kind of technology did they have, Will? Was it, did they have flying machines and things like that?
I can't see where they had flying machines, but I'm convinced that there's no way to explain some of these very ancient stoneworks, and I'm talking about dolmen and, you know, these large standing stones that might be, 100 tons. Well, how were they lifted up?
Exactly.
How could somebody with primitive technology? They did seem to have some kind of levitation or sonic technology that they used that we lost. We just simply lost it.
It was never passed down to us.
Yeah, and I think that's what happened is that the tribe that was on the Canary Islands, they weren't completely wiped out to extinction. What they did is, they interbred with Europeans, and the islanders now, the modern ones, have the ancient Gacha blood in them, but their culture was wiped out. You know, the Spaniards did what they did in the New World, they just wiped the culture out.
Right.
And they interbred, though, with the local people.
Did they wipe it out via disease or just by brutality? Or both?
Yeah, basically, right. Both. Both. But the Gacha were, they were agriculturalists. The Atlanteans were agriculturalists, and they had their own forms of agriculture. Agriculture didn't all come from the Fertile Crescent, like our historians say. And they, in recent years, they've admitted it. There were separate, developments of agriculture in North Africa, across North Africa, especially on the west part of North Africa. Also, the flow, my claim is that Rh negative originated in Atlantis. That's why the greatest frequencies you find along the Northern Europe, all across the Atlantic, all the way down to Morocco, you find the highest frequencies in the world of Rh negative. And then in the ancient world, Rh negative didn't exist in Asia. It didn't exist in sub-Saharan Africa. It didn't exist in the Americas at all. So where did it come from? It came from Atlantis. And the Atlanteans were European looking, but genetically, they're not European.
And in
they're
your
Indo-European.
In your opinion, what happened to Atlantis?
Just what Plato said.
Plato was right.
Yeah. About 12,000. We know now that, 12,000 years ago, there were major catastrophes on the planet. Then the Ice Age and everything changed around. I mean, there were just massive disasters and, water flowing everywhere. And in fact, if I point out that, and other independent researchers point out, if you look at Tiwanaku and Pumapunku and those 200-ton blocks of stone that were just thrown around, what possibly could have done that? A massive flood could have
Massive flood.
Major on upheavals. These cyclopean blocks were just thrown around like they were toys.
And a fast flood, too, because it needed some kind of propulsion to push these things.
The same thing with Teotihuacan in outside of Mexico City, that huge site. I've gone through the historical photos, and it was completely covered before the excavation started around 1900. It was completely covered in a very deep 15 to 20 feet layer of earth. Well, what could have done that? Same thing. It's proof of the flood. And geologists and the scientists are more coming around to it now. They're kind of giving up on the old staunch because they rejected the history in the Bible, and you know they don't like the flood story, although it's in 200 cultures around the world. I don't think our ancestors were stupid or imagined all these things. They were reporting on what happened.
I think so, too. What do you think about the Dead Sea Scrolls, Will?
Well, they're very interesting, and they corroborate a lot. And also, what's interesting to me is the Book of Enoch is in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And, you know, it's very curious why those were ferreted out, you know, or were not considered to be within the canon. And the Book of Enoch, though, is part of the liturgy in Ethiopia. And the Ethiopians are Jews, too. So we have, people, I think, don't realize just how politicized ancient history is. But it comes down through the generations, filtered in different ways, and of course the winners of colonialism, and battles between cultures and civilizations, they rewrite it in their own way, and the losers just have to deal with it.
Could all these things happen again to us? These catastrophes, yeah. And everything else.
Yeah, that's yes. I think we're realizing that at this very moment, aren't we? How many times has this happened? We don't even know. How many cultures have been wiped out by what we're experiencing now?
Over and over again.
Yeah, and we have natural disasters we're well aware of, but we haven't been thinking about this kind of disaster. But I'm sure it's happened, and it happened to Native Americans, north and south. They were wiped out by smallpox and various diseases they didn't have. So that's why another reason why I don't get why people say, well, why aren't the aliens coming down and doing this and that? Well, guess what? I mean, unless they're from the Earth, they could be bringing diseases that will wipe us out completely.
Exactly.
So they have their own, they're not stupid. And
some think COVID-19 was that.
Well, it could be. It really could be. I mean, there are scientists that are, have proven that microbes can survive. Extremophiles can survive the conditions of space.
Yep.
And they can also be frozen for thousands and thousands of years and be thawed out and come back to life. So we're dealing with the real roots of life now, but our systems, will adapt to this, and we have enough medical technology now. We'll overcome this thing. We've overcome other things, too.
Absolutely.
When we were young, it was polio, and it was this and that, and measles, and a lot of, we've dealt with that stuff. And we'll deal with this one, too.
And we may do it without a vaccine. That vaccine alone may not do it. I think we might do it just through herd immunity or something like that.
Yeah, well, the younger generations, right, will fight it off, and then they'll be immune to it.
Exactly.
Right? And the older folks who would have a tough time with it, it won't matter because the younger ones, they'll adapt. Their systems are already, dealing with it. They know what the future is going to be a little better than we do.
Do you think that we, through submarines or whatever devices we have, submersibles, have found the remnants of Atlantis?
To me, I don't look for my strategy. I started on Atlantis back in the mid-70s, and it took decades and decades to find because I was waiting for the final pieces of the puzzle, and they came just within the last 10 years, both genetically. I'm not going to look for Atlantis at the bottom of the ocean. I don't think you're going to find a sign that says, "Welcome to Atlantis" on the bottom of the ocean. No, I mean, we were told that, and it's got to be very deep in the ocean because Plato described it as being out in the Atlantic, off the coast of Morocco, off the Gibraltar.
And that's probably where it is.
Yeah, and it is out there. Now, here's the thing. People have pointed to, and this bothers me, people have pointed to places all around the planet. Here's Atlantis, there's Atlantis, here, there, and everywhere. Well, all these things are seeing now, whether it's the Eye of the Sahara, the Riccat structure, or it's another place in Morocco that has a circular kind of structure, right? And concentric circles and so on. And there are a number of them around the planet. But those were where the survivors went, and they replicated the capital city of Atlantis.
All right, Will, stay with us. We're going to come back and talk more and take some phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM.